Okay, so let's take to the roads. So let's go to Amal Nokomis and move forward and see how we're going to tackle our problems, our issues, and get clarity on certain ideas and have interesting cases this week to move us forward. So let's go to Amal Nokomis. Tilly, if you can open it up for
I didn't
us.
find them yet. Hold on. Where did they go? Sorry about the delay.
It's okay. Do you want me to sing a song in the meantime and keep everyone entertained?
Sure.
Yeah,
That's the best offer we've had in a while. Tully, we still have the 9 o'clock tonight. Okay.
this one start with this Marcus Medina Corona 3. Is that the right one?
yes.
Great. All right. To share. Okay, we're good.
Okay, so the question we had last week was, is that we have two cases. One case is when the Ganenet is put into Bidut, and now she can't, for 2 weeks, serve her clients in the gun, and she has to close the gun for 2 weeks, can't find a replacement in Corona period. Up to the top, yeah. So that's the right-hand side. Shulchan Aruch said over there, there is an opinion in the eyes of Ramah, even though there are people who argue, that says over there that if the Rebbe is ill, and in this case the Ganelis is the Rebbe, you still have to pay, you still have to pay. So in this case, she already cashed her checks, so therefore she doesn't need to give it back. Even although she's not doing her service, not doing the service, because the logic was you bought her, and now what you bought is you have to cry now. It's your fault, not it's, you have to suffer the loss. You have to suffer the loss. Since you paid for what already bought her for the month, now something happens, an illness, you're going to suffer the loss. You're going to not get your money back for the Ganenitz, the Rebbe. But we have a very interesting, so to speak, not logical, stira that says the same Ramah and the same Mordechai in a different siman, siman later says that if the child's ill, well, you would think, well, if the Ganenitz ill, the child's not doing anything wrong, and still the child has to pay, then if you think if the child is ill, where well, it's not doing wrong, but it's more likely to put the blame on them, then the halacha is opposite. The halacha is that they get the money back. They don't need to pay, and even if they pay, they get the money back. So you said it seems to be, if anything, it should be to opposite effect, and it should have come out to different, the opposite halacha. So why, when the Ganenit is ill, you don't get your money back? But if the child's ill, you do get your money back. That was the thing that was bothering us. We gave a lotion of a teretz was that the problem is in what you bought, or the problem's not in what you bought, that type of loshonus. It's loshonus, something came out, we see there's a chilik. We don't actually feel it or understand it properly. But we're going to eventually get there. What's going to be the answer? That's our goal. And that goal is not going to be reached this week in understanding that difference. We have to go through a bit of a process to understand why, when the Ganenet is ill, you don't get your money back. And when the child is ill, then you do get your money back. That's the process we have to get through.
I thought we gave some basic explanation that a regular onus, which would be the classic case of the kid getting ill, your onus, you only pay for what you get. Mashenkin is chiddush by the teacher that you're buying her, and therefore you get.
You're right. We gave a basic answer, but the basic answer is good as a chilek, but we still don't understand. At the end of the day, we still understand that we're missing feelings to that answer, or a basis to the answer, meaning that at the end of the day, if you bought her, then whatever happens, you're going to have to pay. You haven't bought her, then whatever happens, you should get your money back. So how can you be in the same setup that in one way we look at is what you bought and now you still have to pay? That's when she gets ill. And when the child gets ill, we say, well, you then you get your money back. I understood, whatever you buy, after that point of buying, if it's bought, then anything happens, right, left, center, whatever the cause is, whoever's bought it now suffers. We need to get a bit of clarity. Shmuel was getting there a bit last week, remember? He said something, but we're not there at all at that stage. Let's go through a process, and it'll take us a bit of time to go through a process. Maybe next week we'll get to the answer, which everyone will feel very comfortable with when we get there. Okay, so let's start this week's shir with the Shaila like this. Let's go back to the Mamre Kavos, see the pictures. Pictures speak for the Shaila out in quite an interesting way. Okay. So let's move down a bit. Yeah. So in Tovshin Ayin Hei. Tovshin Ayin Hei, massive heat wave during the summer, extremely hot. And Reuven decided, look, he usually goes away in Eretz Yisrael for the summer holidays. Not this year. Tovshin Ayin Hei, it's not a year to go away. Too hot. Too hot to enjoy anything. Yeah. As you see, the guy on the right-hand side found a perfect place to spend his summer holidays in Tovshin Ayin Hei. That's the only place you can feel comfortable, right underneath that water in Eretz Yisrael. Yeah, so that's Tovshin Ayin Hei. Now, so what did Reuven say? But I need a holiday. So you know what? What's the perfect place to go and it's not going to be too hot? Let us go to Switzerland. So he phones up. He phones up his good friend. He's a bit of a matabech guy. You know, you've got some of these guys in place to filler, very useful people who organize your holidays for you. So you phone up them, and he's a good friend of his, and he says, I want to go to Switzerland this year. And you may be surprised, Shimon, that I never go to Switzerland, because you know me, Shimon and Reuven, we're big good friends. I only go to Eretz Yisrael. I don't believe in leaving the country. Eretz Yisrael, Chazal say that, Agav, I'll just tell you, Chazal say when you do go to on holiday, often it is to Mekayim Golus. Mekayim, if there's a gezeirah of Golus, then it's a nice way of Mekayim a bit of Golus. So that you don't want to go to Chutzlaretz because it shows that you needed a bit more Golus this year if you have to go to on holidays. Okay, so with Reuven says, I never go to Chutzlaretz on holidays, but this year look, it's too hot. I want to go to Switzerland, enjoy the fresh air of the wonderful, comfortable place of air, see the wonders of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Switzerland's mountains, yeah, Mr. Sherman, come back to Eretz Yisrael. Those beautiful mountains will come to Eretz Yisrael. Time of Gula, Behemheira, Bekorah, Vemeinu, Amen. And look, so he says, look, let's book me for next week in Switzerland. Too hot here. Okay, so he booked him. Now, the problem was he booked him and he paid. He paid up front, of course. Now, what happened was 2 days or 1 day before he is about to go on his flight to Switzerland, he got news that suddenly there was a heat wave that has struck Europe. And if you look at that picture in the left-hand side, in Tovshin Ayin Hei in Switzerland, it wasn't cooler than Eretz Israel in that week. It was actually extremely hot on the left-hand side, Switzerland, and the only people who were willing to go out in that weather were the ones who have to stay outside, the penguins. Okay, so there's a penguin skiing down the mountain in Switzerland, Tovshin Ayin Hei, but no one else is out there because it's extremely hot, as hot as Eretz Yisrael, if not hotter, in Tovshin Ayin Hei. And he Reuven realized that the whole purpose of him leaving the country was to get away from the heat and have a good time. Switzerland that year was not a place to get away from the heat. Forget you're going to be in more hot, sticky weather without the mazgan being able to protect you, even at least inside. In Israel, they're used to a hot week. They have mazgan in all the time. Switzerland, most places don't have air conditioning, and you're going to be suffering inside. So he's phoned up Shimon and says, look, I want to mevatel. I want to cancel it. There's no point this year. I think Hashem is giving him a bit of a message over there as well. So Shimon said, Beseder, yeah, okay, you can cancel it, but there's a cancellation fee, and you're going to have to pay that cancellation fee, friends. So now Reuven said, look, we're good friends, and I want to cancel. He said, good friends, fine, I'll cancel it, but there's a cancellation fee. I can't suffer a loss on your purpose, even though we're good friends. So now we're in a friendly dinner between two good friends, who remain two good friends afterwards, discussing whether Reuven can get back his money or not. Now, I can already suggest to ask you now, what's the havamina of getting back your money under these circumstances? What's the havamina of getting back your money?
It's an onus.
It's an onus. Okay.
Things changed. There was a, so that would be, no, it's not a mistake. When he ordered it, the weather was just what he wanted. But in the meantime, things changed. I don't know, it could be a mistake or... he's not going to get the benefit for which he is paying.
Okay, but he's already paid. It wasn't a mistake at the time of buying it. Something changed, like you said. So why should he get his money back? Things change. Why should he get his money back?
Getting sick. Getting sick is also things changing, but it's an onus beyond your control. You can't control getting sick, can't control the weather.
Yeah, okay, so I buy a house. Unfortunately, I know this scenario. Someone bought a house in Eretz Yisrael, in plan to move to Eretz Yisrael. And unfortunately, he got the machla in England, and he can't move. So now he wants the mavata the sale. Can't mavata the sale. You bought the house. Things change, unfortunately. But what you bought, you buy. Unless there is something defaulty or unknown about at the time of sale, not something that happens afterwards. So that's it. So look, on the face value of everything that we, on logic tells us. That you should not be able to get your money back, for sure not.
That's a different case, because in the house, if he can't mavatle it, he can sell it, and maybe he'll even make a profit. But with respect to the vacation, he's not going to get what he...
Okay, so we can cry more or cry less, depending on what you want to say. But it doesn't make the logical difference between the two. Logical, the facts of the matter is you bought something, everything was good at the time, and something changed afterwards. So, okay. So
the other side,
you can still go on holiday. You can still go over there. There's nothing wrong with Switzerland being off limits to you. You can go there. It works. Switzerland is still a working entity. You're a working person. There's nothing wrong over here. It's just you feel to be changed your mind. Okay. That doesn't make sense to me.
We say because he said that. The Farish why he wants to go there because of the weather.
So okay, that's a very good first point, David. Very good. Now starting to type the question, Eddie. What do you want to say? Very good, David.
I didn't understand. He was getting his money back. There was part of it he wasn't getting back the cancellation fee. That was the problem.
He wants to get back the whole thing. Yeah, and he's saying, look, in theory, you shouldn't get anything back. But this is part of the deal that when you buy this product, they're prepared to give back the money minus a cancellation fee within a reasonable time. Your day before 24 hours, that's okay. Maybe 2 hours behind. Before, then there's no cancellation at all. Then you have to pay the whole thing. There are sets of rules. But it's based on the rules. You can't break the rules.
What if there's no air conditioning and he needs the air conditioners that hot?
That's a fault from the beginning. I asked for air conditioning. Don't give me air conditioning. So you gave me something I didn't buy. But that's not the case. So let's go to Mar Mokomas. David is right on the ball. And we'll see the first Mar Mokom. What is the room to discuss over here? And this now opens up a whole now mind of thinking, which helps us in the big picture. Says the Mar Mokomas, number one. Shulchan Aruch says like this. And Hilchos Mekka Kamem Kla Simon Rem Zayin says like this. Me, Shomacha, Chatzo, Katsur and Sodeu. Somebody sold his kotzer or his field, Upirish, Bishas Mikhe, and he explained at the time of the selling, Shemurcha Gedei Leilach Lamokum Tun. And you know why I'm selling this? I'm selling this because I need to leave town. I need to go to Eretz Yisrael. I need to go to Eretz Yisrael. That's why I'm selling my house. Haizeh Kamurcha Atalai. That is good enough. Such a statement is good enough to consider that what you've done is you sold it with a condition attached. Lefichach, therefore, nimna hadeach la'zerotza. If for certain reasons that now you're not able to go to Eretz Yisrael, how is there machsel or adonim dachzer kacha? Then the sale is off. The sale is off, and you get back your money. He gets back your money, and you get back your land and your house. Why? Shai pirish she'ena mocha elasos dov aproni. Because he said, I'm doing this, I'm selling this in order to go to Eretz Yisrael, and I can't. So therefore, if I can't, there was a condition. So therefore, the sale is now destroyed. the sale blows up, the condition room blows up the sale by the same coincidence, and therefore anything similar to this has the same result. So based on this, what we want to suggest, Reuven wants to suggest, is that I told him, and Shimon knew this, I told him, I want to buy a ticket to Switzerland and a holiday over there, a package deal over there, because it's too hot in Israel and it's comfortable in Switzerland. And that's why I'm doing it. That's why I said at the time when I went into the Iska, went into the deal with Shimon. Therefore, it should be under this halacha. That is Ke'ilu and Tanai attached to me by my package holiday to Switzerland. I'm only willing to go to Switzerland if it's comfortable over there, weather, and it's not that it's not comfortable weather over there. Memela, since end of the day, is not comfortable. So that Tanai wasn't fulfilled. Therefore, I can break the whole deal. I should get all my money back totally. That is what we're suggesting. David pointed out, well, there's a like a Tanai attached when you speak like this.
It can't be, you know what? In the agreement itself, it probably provides for the cancellation payment, and it was mevatled. It no longer applies. Hello?
No longer applies. What do you mean no longer applies?
Okay, so you have a cancellation agreement, correct? And
long signs, it's just like verbally, this is what we do.
Trying to remember what
this is the standard clause in when you buy a package holiday. But the person I'm buying it from, I said clearly that why I'm doing this is because it's comfortable weather over there. So it's like a condition attached to the whole deal.
And he mevatled that condition.
How?
Signing an agreement.
Inside an agreement. Inside an agreement.
So where's the
inside agreement?
So where's the cancellation fee coming from?
Comes over because that's the rules of the company. The rules of the company is when you buy a package from us, this is what we do. We allow you to cancel within 24 hours of the thing, but then there's a cancellation fee attached.
But that's an agreement. That's, are you saying?
That's our rules. Our rules. But it's nothing you signed. It's nothing that you read the document like a lawyer's contract. Like a sale contract, and you read it through, and you missed out the condition, and still you signed it. So therefore, that signing removes the condition. That's when Menachem is correct. You have a contract, even though you spoke out conditions before. The contract actually, if you don't have it there, will now nullify that condition. But here, that's not what happened. I phoned up, I gave my credit card, and this was why I'm doing it, because it's comfortable weather over there, and now I want you not to use my credit card even for one shekel, because the condition wasn't fulfilled, and therefore there's a built-in condition over here, and nothing nullified it, because nothing was signed. There's nothing signed or read through, and the rules and conditions at all. Talking about a normal transaction, especially between two friends over here, between Reuven and Shimon.
But yes. The case from the Marmakomos is a slightly different case in that there it's the mocher who's stipulating the condition for the sale, and in our case it's the buyer. I don't know if it makes a difference, but that seems to be different than the CS.
Okay, so tell me if that you feel is a good condition. If you feel that's a good killing. Look, tell me, explain to me, do you think that's a good killing? To explain such a killing to me is very impressive. But it's actually not impressive to say it without giving an explanation. So therefore,
just a minute, the condition.
With an explanation, then I'm prepared to accept it and give you a round of applause. Without the explanation, you get minus marks.
Minus points, whoa.
Minus points.
Well, first of all, we can't see the rub. The rub's camera is like pointing at the ceiling a little bit.
Okay, so I'm trying to organize it, but it could get worse. I'm not an expert at these things. Now you can see my tie. Okay.
So if you're the seller,
you can keep talking. I'm just fiddling here.
If you're the seller, you have a right to condition your sale, the product, on whatever conditions you want. You could say I'm only open on Mondays. You could say, You give whatever, as a seller, you have a right to put tnayim.
No, a buyer also.
The buyer does it. Yeah, the buyer does it the whole time. He said, this is a condition. You agree, you don't agree. The buyer does
In neither case was it a direct tnay. Meaning, we look go back to the lashon for a second. I'll share it again. He's telling him why he's doing it. He's not putting it tonight in the contract. He's saying, by the way, this is why I'm doing it. Just like our case with the buyer saying why he's doing it.
Speak out why, if you don't write a perish tonight, but you just speak out a friendly conversation. Why do we only recognize a friendly conversation from the seller, but a friendly conversation from the buyer we don't recognize as being doing anything to the deal? Why is only the conversation of the seller puts conditions into the contract, but the conversation of a buyer doesn't put conditions? What would there be a difference? Why? Now we're starting to be able to think along the right lines with this way of this type of question.
We say something that along the lines of nistapcha sadehu by the buyer, like that you bought something and now
that's true always, but unless there's a condition. But we are discussing before that stage, is there a condition? So said the seller, says Tuli, can put those conditions in with just a agav conversation. Whereas a buyer, agav's conversation won't put conditions in. But if it would, then it doesn't matter. This stop is there. It's got the condition. Whether the condition is valid or not valid.
No, but still, I'm saying, but the buyer, right? The buyer bought something and put a tanai, and the tanai could have been fulfilled or not been fulfilled, and he bought it and it was fulfilled. So Kadosh Baruch Hu is saying, okay, so you know.
It wasn't fulfilled. Let's say he spoke out clearly. He says, I'm buying this Switzerland package deal on condition to Nikoff up and they go to Bnei Ruvain that there's not hot weather next week. And the seller says, okay. So then it ended up being hot weather. Of course, everyone's going to agree if you speak out such a thing, then the whole thing was null and void and you get the whole money back. Now, the question is, if you don't speak like that, you just say, I am going to Switzerland because it's hot weather here and I want comfortable weather over there. Is that good enough to say there's a condition like tonight off with a woman built in and therefore, of course, you get all your money back or not? So Tony's saying it's not if the buyer said, talking about, I'm going to Switzerland because it's comfortable weather, it won't. But if the seller's saying that, it will. We want to know what's the logic between the seller's type of sentence and the buyer. Why would the buyer speaking not have the same rights as the seller?
This may not address the issue.
Everyone speaking at the same time? And Shmuel wants to say something. Let's hear from something from Shmuel tonight.
We generally say that a person is not going to sell his possessions, his home, unless it's bedochak. That's a concept that we see in the Gemara, and therefore we're assuming he was at a specific reason and he wouldn't be selling other than that reason.
Very good. Shmuel's already got moving on the song. What did Eric write, Tully?
Eric wrote, it is only a possible transaction the seller wants to sell in the first place. Therefore, he can make any conditions he wants.
Correct. The seller, but the buyer can also make conditions, and the seller can either accept it or not. Tully already did us, but Shmuel's on the right. Let's move forward and see how we develop what Shmuel said in the next Mar Malkum. Let's see.
Can I ask a question?
Yes, you can ask a question. Pull up the Mar Malkum number two and ask the question at the same time. Go ahead.
That the buyer's condition is not al pi halacha. You have to repeat it. You have to do it. You have a
phone. No, it's the seller's condition al pi halacha. Every condition is nothing unless you tonight got the Reuben, except we got a chiddush from Shulchan Aruch that says that some cases you do not need the Tnai God Bnei Ruvain rules. You can put condition in by just speaking out the reasoning why you're doing it, and that's good enough to not need all the requirements. So we're talking about a case where the requirement obviously is not needed, but it's a dispensation for the seller, not for the buyer. Why we got the dispensation? Shmuel's already started to discuss the point. Let's see in the Torah, Choshen Mishpat, he speaks it out. Kosev Rabbeinu Yonah. Kosev Rabbeinu Yonah. Zah. Avahalokeach Yai Mechaveh. Somebody who buys wine from his friends. Even though he says, I'm buying this wine from you because I want to take the wine to go to Eretz Yisrael. And no, the price went down before he got the chance to get over there and sell his goods. He can't back out the seller. Even though he says, I'm taking it to Eretz Yisrael, there's good prices over there, I can make a profit, you can't back out of the sale. Right? So even though we know if you sell something on, to go to Eretz Yisrael, mochra bottle, you can nullify the deal. That's the mochra bavad. That's only by the seller. The seller going to Eretz Yisrael and saying that he's selling it because he's going to Eretz Yisrael, he can back out of the deal. But the buyer saying he's going to Eretz Yisrael to make good profit, he can't back out of the deal. Why? What's the difference? Because the seller never really wants to sell anything he owns. Why is he selling anything? Because he's forced to. There's a situation that's forcing him to sell. So therefore, the buyer is not being forced to sell. The buyer's offering to sell. Maybe that's what Eric meant in a certain sense from his statements. The seller, he wants to keep what he's got. Why is he selling? Because he needs the money. Situation determines that he has to sell. There's outside forces making him sell from a natural situation where he wouldn't want to sell. So therefore, when he doesn't want to sell, yeah, and he sells, and he says, you know what? I'm saying this because I'm going to Eretz Yisrael. So therefore we say, well, that's a real condition because you wouldn't sell it at all. You're basically telling me that I'll never sell anything unless I was going to Eretz Yisrael. Okay, I understand. There's in this contract, there's a condition attached that says the sale is valid because you're going to Eretz Yisrael. If it's not going to Eretz Yisrael, you would keep it. But the buyer, people buy things without being pushed into buying. Forget, they make decisions and they want to buy it. To make decisions. No one's forcing him to buy something. Since no one's forcing to buy, unless he speaks out the rules of conditions, which is Tanai, God, the Ruben, anything he says, we don't take as being the absolute bottom end. We don't say this is really important. And we say this, it's attached to the wholesale and it's intrinsic to it. Anything he doesn't say tonight, God the Reuben, is not intrinsic to the sale. It's just nice conversation. But it's not something that is ma'akev the sale. If he wants to make something ma'akev the sale, he has to do tonight, God the Reuben. Anything else, we don't take seriously. Whereas the seller, everything he says, we take seriously. And everything he says, therefore, is ma'akib in himself and is valid even without my good reason. That's the logic behind the difference between the seller and the buyer. And therefore, it doesn't apply to buy. Yeah.
No.
Yes. It's very important. If I'm speaking,
just a minute,
you've got something in your head.
Okay.
Halfway through I'm speaking.
Yeah. Sorry.
Then, often, and I say to people, I'm based in the same thing. Often, okay.
So let me
often,
stop you for a second.
Often people, once they got in their heads, they stop listening. And it could be, not always, could be that if what I continue speaking may actually answer your question. But because you stop listening, you never heard the answer. So therefore, I say that to people I'm based in. When people are hearing the other side, I say you have to listen to them to the end in order to understand what they're saying. And I say
is
to people turning in Shirin as well. It's important not to try and interrupt the Magid Shirin, whoever is, in the middle of speaking, because you may be destroying the answer which you have to your potential question, because you have in your hands. And if you're worried you're going to forget the question, and I say this in based on action, write it down. And that you won't forget it as you repeat it. Okay, Nachum, please ask your question, and I hope I'm not right in thinking that I've already answered this, but you didn't listen. Okay, say your question.
Yeah. A seller who has inventory, and his whole purpose of either having a hotel or the inventory was to sell it. He's not forced to sell it because he wasn't forced to buy the inventory in the first place.
Okay. I understand your mistake.
I'm sorry?
I understand your mistake.
My mistake?
Yes. Your mistake is you're concentrating on our case and not what the Shulchan Aruch said.
Oh.
The Shulchan Aruch is talking about somebody selling his barrel of wine.
Yes.
And that, the Shulchan Aruch is saying, people don't sell things unless they're forced to because of situations, either money reasons or they're moving place, and therefore situations force them. So therefore, as soon as they say anything, we take and say that this is the reason why I'm doing this, we say that that's the real reason, and therefore it's a condition. Yeah? You're talking about our case, which the Shulchan Aruch is talking about, and you're not even talking about our case. Our case is not the seller selling the package deal. Our case is the buyer buying the package deal. The buyer buying the package deal. And even in the Shulchan Aruch, which is not our case, it says the buyer, he can't add conditions unless he makes the Tanai God Reuven, because whatever he says is not important unless he says it's important, which means Tanai God Reuven. Seller, whatever he says is important, even without Tanai God Reuven, but buyer is not important unless he speaks out the rules of Tanai God Reuven, doubling it up and making sure everyone understands it's really important. That's the rule which Shulchan Aruch is saying, and you're not arguing that rule. You just want to talk about another case which is not even what we're discussing. Okay?
It means, but that rule that applies to the seller and he's different than the buyer, does that apply to every kind of seller?
Maybe not.
Oh!
Maybe not. But it's not relevant to our point in the shiur at the moment.
Oh.
Is it?
Why not? Okay.
So therefore, coming to our case, where the buyer wants to add a condition without following the rules of adding condition. He just wants to say, I added the condition because I told you it's hot over here and I want comfortable thing. So we look at the Shulchan Aruch says, the buyer can never add conditions unless he actually makes sure everyone understands in the deal that this is a breaker for the whole deal. And he can only do that if he says, tonight God Reuven, it's not what he said. He just told us a nice story of why he's going to Switzerland. That's all he did. So therefore, according to our opinion of the Shulchan Aruch, then we'll say, in our case, can he get his money back? What will we say?
No.
He can't get his money. But if you go back to Mar Malkomus, look at the end of number two. It's not the only opinion. It says the last line of number two, it says, Abu Rabbeinu Chananu argues on Rabbeinu Yonah, and he says, Ein chilek bein mocha lekech. I disagree. I hold even the buyer can add conditions by just telling us as an incidental way at the time of making the contract of why he's making the contract. That's good enough for the buyer also to add conditions. There's no difference between buyer and seller. The buyer can also add conditions. So therefore, the end of the day, it's a machlokas with Shonim and not locus in Shulchan Aruch. Two shittas brought down in Shulchan Aruch. Whether a incidental conversation at the time of the transaction will actually add conditions or not, machlokas. So if it's a machlokas, what do we say in such a case where there's a machlokas? Of course, going back to our standard rules, when it's a machlokas, is there a condition there or not? One opinion says there's not because it can't apply by a buyer, and the other one says there is because it can buy, buyer. So what's going to be the machlokas? Is there a condition or not?
Money stays where it is.
And where is the money in such a case, our case? What?
Sorry? The seller.
The seller. So therefore, the seller will say, I keep the money, kindly, like the opinion that there's no condition, and therefore no money back. The end of our first case at this moment in time. Let us move to the second case. Second case. Let's move down to the following picture. Go on. They will explain our case. Turning back to the Malmokovas, if you can guess that. No, yeah, that's good. Okay. Shaila like this, big Shaila. Sukkot's time. Okay, we're in France, and there's somebody who has the monopoly of selling Arba Minim in France. So he comes to Eretz Yisrael, and he goes to one of the top sellers of Arba Minim in Eretz Yisrael, the big sellers of Arba Minim in Eretz Yisrael, and he introduces him, look, I'm Reb Yankel, and I'm the monopoly in France. I know you don't know me, and since you don't know me, you won't necessarily give me the best stuff because it's all to do with friendship and building up business. But I'm going to offer you a deal that you can't refuse. What's the deal? Says Reb Yankel says to Reuven, the seller of the Arba Minim, he says, I'll pay double price on your best Esrogim and Lulavim on condition that you give me first choice of all your stock in the hundreds that I can take to France. And I'll pay double your going rate. And why should I do that? Do you think I'm mad? I tell you why, because I have a monopoly in France. I can sell it for four times the price over there because I have a monopoly. So that's why I'm doing this deal. Okay, so sign documents that they are doing this deal. Yeah, and they sign and they shake hands. And he actually goes to choose his stock. He goes through it for a few days and he chooses the best stuff. And he pays. But how does he pay? He doesn't pay. How does Arba Minim work? They say, I'll pay after Sukkot. I'll pay after Sukkot. When I put the money, I've got a cash flow issue over here. When I get all the money in for my customers, then I'll pay you after Sukkot. Fine. So, fine, that's the normal Mukubal thing. He gives a certain guarantor to back up so he doesn't have to be fighting with him. So that if he takes all the schor away and he puts it on the ship, like the ship in front of you, and it gets sent to France. He now arrives back in France with his massive stock of Arba Minim, top quality to sell. And then a bombshell hits him. He finds out this year he's not the only guy selling Arba Minim. There's another two or three guys over there, and they're selling stuff which are undercutting him by enormous amounts. And even if he would sell at their prices, he would lose money. So what does he do? He sends the stock back. And it comes back in two shifts. One lot comes back, half of it comes back, and the other stuff come back 2 days before Sukkot, the other half. And now we're in a dintura. Does he have to pay or does he not have to pay? So what do you think, my dear Chabur over here, based on what we said on the first case, does he have to pay or does he not have to pay? As a continuation of the first case, not new ideas, not nothing to think about. Just like take the ideas of the first case and nothing else and see how would you think you would apply it in this case. Does he need to pay or not need to pay?
He would have to pay.
He
was a verbal, sort of throwaway. I've got a monopoly, and he turned out to be wrong.
So therefore, what does that verbal throwaway say? If I'm buying the Arba Minim, and I tell you, I'm willing to pay double because I can charge four times the price because I have a monopoly. What are you trying to say with those words when you throw them out, the seller, the buyer? What's he trying to say?
He's not doing a condition.
What is he trying to say why he's making this deal? Why is he doing something stupid?
No, he's not doing stupid.
Why is he doing stupid things called paying double the price of his own rate? Why is he doing stupid things? Why? He's saying, I'm not stupid. Why? Why am I not stupid?
Because I've got a monopoly.
Because I'm doing this, it's clever. Because I've got a monopoly and I'm going to charge four times. So what's therefore Yankele now trying to say in Basin is what he did.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he made it tonight, David. Yes. He said, I'm doing this stupid thing because in my mind, the only reason I'm doing this is because I got a monopoly. If it's not a monopoly, no one in their right mind will do this. If it's not a monopoly, only somebody who's off their wall and the sugar and can't do transactions will do this. And it wouldn't be bad in any case because he'd be a shota. So therefore, since he says, I'm not a sugar man, and I've got a plan, and the plan is I'm buying this because I'm going to charge double, four times because I've got monopoly, then basically he's saying, I've got condition. I only did this deal on condition I have a monopoly. At the end of the day, I did not have a monopoly. If I didn't have a monopoly, therefore the deal which I made with you, Mr. Abamin, is broken and destroyed by the condition I made.
So you should say like the Rebellion.
So therefore, he's going Rebellion says, I don't recognize anything that the buyer does. And Rebellion Kanano says, I recognize
what the buyer does. And he didn't pay yet, so he could say Kimli.
So according to our rule, Machlokas, is there a condition or not? The buyer will say, I haven't paid. So Kimli, there is a condition. The deal is broken, and you're not going to get your money. That's what we would say, based purely on what we learnt up to now.
Right. Can I add one thing?
Now, of course, you can add. Of course, you can now try and say something. We'll say that we're making wrong reasoning over here. Correct.
Okay, let's go. So one of the problems is that he sent back the goods, maybe, certainly the second shipment, too late for the seller to be able to sell it. At least he can make that argument. And it may
be good point. Excellent point. That is definitely something to consider. That this giving back the goods may be too late. That's definitely true. We have to consider that. Anything else wants to say something? That's a very good point.
Business conditions always shift. When a person makes a business situation, they're looking at the present, but they have to realize there's risks. Business environment is not stationary, it's static.
So
things change. The person has to.
Things change, but they always change. What's the difference between the Switzerland case and this case, the holiday case, and the store and the buying the upper minimum? Things always change. Correct. But if I add a condition, then it's a condition.
No, but that's it. Has to be a formal condition, not a stam umdina.
Why should this not be a condition?
And look at Eric.
In the eyes of Rabbeinu Chananel, why is this not a condition?
Look at Eric. I agree with Eric.
What did Eric say? Please tell me what Eric said.
Eric wrote, Eric, the way the buyer said it, it sounds like he was saying it to persuade the seller to give him first choice, not as a condition.
Yeah, fair.
Okay.
I agree.
Okay, that is a very good point. Very good
point. The argument is pushback.
Can't you say that by every buyer? You're saying in this particular case because he's trying to get something out of it.
The pushback to that point is that clearly, it may be true what Eric is saying, that is why he said it, but it's also true that he would only buy it for that reason. Meaning he would know he wouldn't have monopoly, of course he wouldn't buy it. Fair. So he may have had a different intention in saying it, but his actions clearly show, and Anand Sadi clearly shows, that he clearly meant this condition as well.
Yeah, it's not enough to give me the best schara and to, a good reason to pay double. I won't pay double ever to get just the best schara, because I'm just going to lose money. Whoever I like it to lose money. I'm only paying double because I have a monopoly. So it's true what Eric is saying, but it's clear that they, as far as the buyer is saying, is that I'm doing this meshuga act not because of that, just to get the best stuff, because even that's my sugar, only because I'm going to get four times price, and then eyes are a bit of a that should be valid. So let's see. Go to Marmok number 3, and we'll have an interesting point added to Rabbeinu Kanan. If you look at number 3, we see the Shulchan Aruch in a different place brings an opinion of Rashi and Rabbeinu Kanan. And they say the following. Pirush Rashi, Dafka b'mocha kakos. Dafka, if you're selling property, then we say you can add condition without speaking about property. People don't sell property, fix property just like that, were out because people don't normally sell property. So my father's men, because generally they get certain their living. They're basically living off it. Maybe rent. Maybe they're using the field to grow things. It's their livelihood, not some item. It's something that, so therefore, it's not so common to sell property. In Lo Sheitat L'Akadir, so obviously, if he's selling the property and he's saying, I'm doing it in order to go to Eretz Yisrael, we're saying, well, that's a real condition. That's because otherwise you wouldn't be selling it, because people don't sell property just like that. Avol, mocha kol matatim. But if somebody sells all his movable items, even if he says, I'm selling all my movable items because I'm going to Eretz Yisrael, for the whole day, end of the day, he can't go, he doesn't go. He cannot break the deal unless he makes the proper conditions of Tanai Gadol to be with him. Why? Because sometimes people sell all their movable items, even though they end up staying here. It's not everybody sells everything and moves to Eretz Yisrael. Some people sell everything and stay in their own property. So what Rabbeinu Chanan is saying, he says, even although I told you that both the buyer, seller and the buyer can add conditions at the time of the transaction without actually making snake or Reuben, even though they said that, I said that as a halacha. Rabbeinu Chanan says, however, it only applies by karka, because those are big transactions that people don't normally do unless they have specific reasons. And when they speak out their reasons, then it's part of the deal. But when it comes to metatzelim, some people sell metatzelim just right, left, and center, and they said, look, I'm bored of all my couches and my furniture. I'm going to sell it all, and I'm going to buy something new instead. Therefore, even if he says the reason why, Agav, as he's saying, this is why I'm doing it, it may not be intrinsic to the deal, because he'll do it in any case for other reasons. And therefore, since there's other reasons to do it, we can't take what he says as being part of the deal unless he actually says, Tanai God, Ubnei Ruben. So Rabbeinu Chanan has added that this whole halacha does apply only by karka, only by karka. So therefore, according to that, are we tonight talking about karka or are we talking about metaltzin in both our cases?
Rental.
In buying the holiday package, and buying the esrogim, is it karka or is it metaltzin? What are we talking about?
Well, in our case, we're talking about...
I want to answer my question, and then I hear your question. Metaltzin or karka?
Depends on the case.
Metaltzin. It's metaltzin, you're saying. If it's metaltzin, no conditions can be added, whether it's the seller or the buyer, unless you say to my b'nai. If so, according to this halacha we're now saying, we're saying, according to this Rabbeinu Chanan, that you try to allow the buyer to add conditions because of Rabbeinu Chanan. Rabbeinu Chanan says, you can't use me because me is only applicable by karka. By the Tartan is not applicable. And tonight, Shai is on the Tartan, and therefore, you cannot add conditions unless you speak them out to my brother Reuben. And therefore, in both cases, it will come out at this stage that whatever the buyer says is absolutely ignored as being not essential to the deal unless he says Tanai Gadol Reuben, and therefore there's buying something without conditions, and he comes back out. Even if he hasn't given money, he will have to pay because there's definitely no condition according to everybody. According to Ben Yonah, there's never a condition to be added by the buyer. According to Ben Yonah, or even the buyer can, it's only by karka, and both tonight is the buyer by Metaltzin. So no opinion says he can add conditions unless he speaks out Tanai Gadol Reuben, and he didn't. So therefore the sale is a sale, without condition, and in both cases, even if you haven't paid, you would have to pay.
Why is it metaltelin? When he's renting a hotel room, he is renting karka. Could one argue that this is really a karka deal?
Think what he says. Think he says, what's special about karka? Why did he say karka is special? Let's go now into the logic. Why only by karka do we add things to the deal, even if it's not spoken out as 100%? Why? What's special about karka? No?
People don't sell karka unless they absolutely have.
Okay, so now, you answer your own question.
Yes,
do people rent things easier than sell?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So therefore, you answered your own question. The only case where you can add conditions is buying kaka. Then you can add conditions even if you don't speak it out properly, it will be added. Transactions of selling by conditions, but metalsin or even rental, all those type of things, those people are not so careful about, and they have many different reasons, and he even speaks out one, and maybe other reasons, and even if that one isn't filled, then he'll still do it, and therefore we will say, whatever you speak is a nice story, but it's nothing to do with the deal, unless you make it part of the deal with tonight, God, the new room. And therefore tonight, you've made nothing part of the deal because you didn't make Saigon Reuben Sai in the Switzerland holiday and Sai in the Esrogan. So in both cases, now let's go to the Esrogan. What would be the halacha? Does he have to pay or not? What would be the halacha?
Yes, he has to pay.
He would have to pay because it's buying it without putting a proper condition. And therefore, yeah, you thought you had the monopoly, but you didn't put it part of the deal. You didn't say, if there's no monopoly, I'm not buying it. Didn't say that with tonight, God be Reuben. So therefore, I can ignore what you said. You bought it. You made the proper kinyan. It's yours. You have to pay for it. That's where we're holding. So let's finish. Let's finish with the, let's see. Have we got time for this? Let's see. Let's finish with this. If you go to number four, ignore the picture. We'll see the picture next week. But let's go down to number four. We have the following question for you to think about till next week. This is the big question. Look, let's repeat what we said. Says the Rabbeinu Yonah, number four. Rabbeinu Yonah, we're just repeating what we said in number one. The Rabbeinu Yonah says, you know, if you buy something, you can't add conditions. Only the seller can add conditions. Rabbeinu Chananel says, no, even if you're the buyer, can add conditions. Now, what? The Rabbeinu Chananel is talking about Rabbeinu Yonah's case. What was Rabbeinu Yonah talking about? Let me read inside, number four, what Rabbeinu Yonah was talking about. Kosev Rabbeinu Yonah, have a lekeach yayin mechaveiro. You buy wine in a barrel from your friends. Afapi shomadat lehichu rochbanu says, you know, I'm doing this because I'm going to make big money in Switzerland or America or in Israel. Buzza, and then the market went crashed. Hameka kaim, you can't say that there was a condition because buyers can't add conditions. Comes along with Rabbeinu Chananel. Chananel says, no, ain't chilek b'mochaka. Just as the seller can add conditions, the buyer can add conditions. Okay. Now, what's the big question?
This is metaltalin.
This is metaltalin. You, Rabbeinu Chananel, told that buyer can only add conditions and so can seller, only by karaka. So how are you arguing with Rabbeinu Yonah who's talking about wine? He's talking about wine in a barrel. That's metaltalin. You are talking about wine in a barrel of metaltalin, and you're saying with Rabbeinu Yonah, it doesn't work because he's the buyer. And you're saying it does work because buyers can also add. But you, Rabbeinu Chananel, agree. Buyers, and so can sellers, will not add anything on metaltalin. And Rabbeinu Yonah is talking about a specific case called wine in a barrel. So you're so yourself, your esteira, Minebe, in Rabbeinu Chananel. What place you say? Buyer and seller can add conditions, but only by karka, not by metaltalin. And then you come on with Rabbeinu Yonah, who's talking about metaltalin, and say, no, Rabbeinu Yonah, you're wrong. You can add a condition. You're the seller, the buyer can add a condition by the barrel. Hold on. What do you mean? Rabbeinu Yonah is right. Not for his reasoning, but he's still right. That the condition won't be recognized because it's metaltalin. Look at the question of the drisha, and that's where we're finished. We'll speak, read the drisha inside. Read the drisha inside, and you'll see it inside. It says, in Torah, Halael, v'shem Rashi v'nechadu, tafka b'kaka, deim atakalim, because only by kaka you can add conditions. Tatsin afila gabi milchale mahani. But tatsin, no one, even the silicon ad. Ki in tanai gomi, has to make it tanai gadu. Baka b'tatsin, right here, we're talking about b'tatsin in this panel. That's where we'll leave you tonight. All cases are up in the air at this moment in time because of this question. What's the question? Rabbeinu Chananel says in one place, buyer and seller can act, but only by karka. Another place he says, Rabbeinu Yonah, you're wrong. By selling the barrel, the buyer can add conditions, even though he didn't speak out. Hey, Rabbi Lekhanel, steer him in Ebay. Jewish's question, but not just the Jewish, or a lot of the Achronim asked this question. Question, we're leaving you till next week. Have a wonderful week. Think about what could be possible answers to this question. I will take it from there. All cases are up in the air, but we're moving forwards with our search for the truth. Have a wonderful week. You all participated beautifully this week, and I want to thank especially Rabbi Nachum. He really made this year very worthwhile coming with all his inputs, and Tully, of course, also helps along the way with great ideas. David, have a wonderful week. Shmuel, wonderful answers. Eric, great points as you go along, and Ellie, of course, you always have something very on the spot to say. And Danny, I'd like to see your voice or hear your voice or say hello to you sometime, but I know you're listening. Okay, have a wonderful week. Have a shmur tov, great
week.
Thank you. Good you. Good good you. Thank you, Mr. Bloch. Good. 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 Good.